Pete Rose logged more hits in baseball history than anyone else. No one has come close to breaking his record. But he was also at the center of one of the game's biggest scandals, a scandal that changed baseball forever. In the new book, Charlie Hustle, New York Times bestselling author Keith O'Brien chronicles Pete Rose's spectacular rise and fall. Drawing on firsthand interviews with Rose himself and his associates, this is Pete Rose as we've never seen him before. By Charlie Hustle, available wherever books are sold.
I've been sent many stories over the years of something called the Ozark Howler. It seems the Ozark Mountains have more than just stories of this beast, though. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today I'm going to be sharing creepy and allegedly true stories from the Ozark Mountains, sent in by viewers just like you. Since you guys seem to enjoy the Appalachian Mountain video so much, I decided I'd take a look at some other mountain ranges around the country and see if we can't find some creepy, scary stories. And as always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's from a mountain range or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Now, without further hesitation, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true stories that'll creep you out. I live in the Ozark Mountains, and for the past 2 years, I have often had to drive through the Ozark National Forest for about 2 hours back and forth. It's a long stretch with no towns, no lights, just hills and trees as far as you can see. Nothing weird has ever happened to me on that drive. Well, like a month ago, I am driving a normal drive. It is sunny but hazy, and I feel something invade my thoughts. I guess that's the best way I can describe it. I got this buzzy feeling in my body, like something was trying to yank me out of it. It just felt weird. I was not high, and I do not drink. I started feeling like something was talking to me, and it felt like it was coming from the hills or it was from the hills itself. It was basically conveying to me, without words, that it wasn't male or female, and it was really old and needed energy devoted to it, but had to be mutually given. None of it was in words, it was just like I suddenly knew this. I pulled over as I came out of the mountains because I felt so weird. I chalked it up to just being tired, but every time I have had to drive through there in the past few weeks, I feel whatever it is pulling at me. The weirdest part happened last night and caused me to reach out. Please do not think I am weird, but I really don't have words for this. I dreamed I was having sex with nature, like these vines were forming into things that I was just getting intimate with. It was a very strange dream, and the weird thing is I knew I was dreaming the entire time and I felt it kind of laughing at me, and the entire time I never actually saw it though. It was incredibly happy. This dream, it was just so weird, and honestly, I was not scared but more amazed. Let me repeat this, I was not high or drunk, I have no history of seizures, hallucinations, or any serious mental illness. I am tempted to chalk it up to my imagination, but it came out of nowhere and with no reference. What could I be experiencing? Should I just pull over one day and get out and see what happens? This happened to me when I was a teenager. I think it was the spring of 1998, when I was 14 years old. My Boy Scout troop went hiking in the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas. I grew up in an exceedingly small town in Tennessee, and the boys in my troop were people I had known my entire life, and we were all awfully close and knew each other very well and trusted each other with our lives. We had been hiking for 5 days or so, and honestly, it was quite miserable. It rained almost every single day, and we were all exhausted and incredibly sore and very hungry, and not to mention, covered with blisters. The adults realized we had bitten off more than we could chew in trying to hike a 60-mile trail, especially with the awful weather, and we had changed course and gotten off the trail to spend the night in a drive-in campground. The kind of place with hookups for RVs and picnic tables and fire pits and grills, and a central bathhouse with showers and toilets. It was in a very remote area, far from any town or any houses. There may have been a few other small groups there, but if there were, we never interacted or saw any of them. We were all filthy and wet, and thus overly excited about taking a hot shower. It was dark and we had all finished dinner. A group of five of my friends, including my friend Jeremy, who like everyone else in our group I had known since we were just babies, headed up to the bathhouse, which was maybe a quarter mile of away. We had to walk through the pitch dark woods up a worn down gravel walking trail. I stayed behind to clean up, and after 10 or 15 minutes, followed them by myself. I had a weak little flashlight, the old iridescent kind. This was before LEDs were very common. I remember the woods were totally silent. When I got about halfway to the bathhouse, I could see the light from it off in the distance through the woods. I heard a noise to my left, and I looked over and saw my friend Jeremy standing by an old-school manual water pump, about 20 feet off the trail, the kind of pump where you raise and lower a handle to pump water up from a well. There was a strange light around him, like the moon had come out from behind the clouds. I was startled to see him there by himself in the woods off the trail. I asked him if he was already done with his shower. He seemed kind of sad, and he said, "Yeah, it's all yours." I said okay and did not think much of it until I got to the bathhouse. When I walked in the door, my friends were all in there, and I heard Jeremy talking from the shower. All the blood drained out of my head, and all the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I had to sit down before I passed out. My friends were freaked out and wanted to know what was wrong. I told them what had happened. They nervously made jokes about how I must have been smoking pot. This was long before any of us had experimented with any kind of mind-altering substances, mind you. But I could tell they all believed me. Like I said, we had known each other forever and knew when one of us was exaggerating or playing a joke. We all waited together until everyone was finished showering and brushing teeth and whatnot, and then walked back together in total silence. When we got to the lever, however, I had not seen anybody there. It's like he was gone without a trace. The water pump was there, though. No one noticed it, though, before, because it was way off the trail and obviously not in use. We got back to our campsite and went to bed pretty freaked out, honestly. I remember not sleeping much that night. In all the years since then, I have never been able to figure out what happened. Was there a random teenage boy in the woods who looked just like my friend, which is unlikely? Did I hallucinate it? Also unlikely. But, ultimately, who is to say? My grandparents used to live in the Ozark Mountains in a tiny house in the woods. I loved it there. Being from West Texas, it was always nice to resort to a place with trees. After a year or two of living in the house, my grandparents decided to renovate it to make it look like a logged cabin. I had always felt something really unsettling about the house and warned them to be careful because renovating the house could stir up some unpleased spirits. They went ahead with the renovations. Gorgeous woodwork on the house with two gorgeous decks looking out to the mountains, and an entirely new living area in the basement. It was gorgeous, and I was overly excited to stay there in the summer. When I arrived, the atmosphere was tense. I felt angry even though my grandparents were very welcoming. It was quite strange. I got an official tour, and for the most part, the interior was the same. Then we went to the basement. I was overwhelmed with fear. I was hesitant to go down. Alone at any time, honestly, no matter if it was day or night. And when I would, I could never stay for long. I always slept upstairs, and I never really felt safe down there. I don't know why. One day I was making my way down the stairs to get some laundry, which was located across from the basement. I'd only taken about 3 steps down when I suddenly felt cold and could not move. I was suddenly petrified. Not long before I felt a force on my back, and the next thing I knew I was sliding down the stairs. Still entirely petrified that I could not even scream. It was a silent fall. When I could move again, I rushed for my clothes and ran back up the stairs and did not go back down for quite a few days. A week or so would go by. It was July 3rd. It was storming all day but still warm outside. My grandparents had left for a party down the street and I decided to stay and hold the fort. All alone, by myself. I was upstairs in their big open loft on their computer, just killing some time. It was still storming outside, and it was the last moment of daylight. I was listening to music with my headphones on, browsing YouTube and the likes. I felt a familiar cold breeze, but instead of my entire body, it was just my neck. And instead of being an extended cold, it was brief, as if someone was blowing it on me. I was not moving at all. I was too scared to even breathe. And as I stayed still, the headphones on my head flew at such a force it hit the computer screen in front of me. I screamed. I ran. I panicked. I tried to turn on the TV, but it was a startling loud static. I tried turning it off, and it just wouldn't. Trying to calm my nerves, I looked at a painting of a meadow my grandparents had hanging by the TV, and I saw it. I saw a man with the most sinister, evil face I'd ever seen, with empty white eyes that I still felt so much fear staring into them. I ran outside in the rain, shoeless and terrified. I walked to the house where my grandparents were, never explaining what happened. I'm going to tell you about an experience I had as a kid that continues to terrify me to this day. I have never come to a solid opinion on what it was, so I decided to share it publicly and see if anyone else has had a similar experience. If you have, or can point me to other similar examples, it would be greatly appreciated. So, first, some context. I was between the ages of 13 and 14 years old, roughly 30 years ago now. I lived in a very tiny rural town with less than 400 people at the north edge of the Ozark Mountains in Missouri. This town was so small, we did not have our own police, and school only went to 8th grade. After that, you had to go to the next town. I lived in a modular home about the same size of a double-wide trailer. At the time, my sister and her son, who was 4 or 5 at the time, lived with us. So it was just the two of them, myself and my parents. We also had a family dog that slept inside the doorway. As for the layout, if you were to walk in front of the door, straight ahead would be the living room. To the right was a short hall. On the right of that hall was the door to my sister's room. On the left, the bathroom. I shared a room with my nephew, directly at the end of the hall. In the bedroom, we slept in bunk beds and I was on the top bunk. The bed was built by my dad and although it was stable, it made a lot of noise and wobbled when he or I moved around in it. Unfortunately, I do not have a date, season, or any specific year for this. I was not in the habit, that young, to be recording things like that. But as I said, it was about 30 years ago now. I was somewhere around 14 or 15 and my nephew was 4 or 5. So, here's what happened. I do not remember how I woke up, just that I was awake. It was in the middle of the night and everyone was in bed. And then I started hearing a strange noise. It started at the front door. It sounded like a footstep, but the cadence was not quite right. These steps were repetitive and seemed to be timed. But about 5 seconds between steps, too long for it to be a person walking, they did not seem to be trying to be quiet either. They were solid thumps. I think after the first couple, I pulled the blanket over my head. These steps, I'll just call them that, came down the hallway, past my sister's door, into my room, and stopped when they were right outside of my bed. I was terrified. I tried to scream, but nothing would come out. I remember it was as if my throat was squelching the sound, and my scream was just silent. My nephew said, tiredly, "Mommy?" And then the bed began shaking and squeaking. I remember this happening for around 3 to 5 seconds, and then it stopped. I do not remember anything after that. I do not remember falling back to sleep or any other noises. That is simply and honestly the end of my memory that night. The next day I did tell everyone in the house about what happened, but I don't think anybody really believed me. Everybody said it was probably a dream, and they all said they did not come into our room that night. Another odd thing is our dog made no noise. He seemed to be asleep through it, and I went right past where he slept. I'm not going to declare that there is no way I was dreaming. I honestly do not believe I was, but I will accept that it is a possibility. Also, no one in the house had a history of sleepwalking, and I have never known any of them to do it. But, barring a dream, what do you guys think it was, and why?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So this is a true story about one of the more real life-threatening moments I have experienced. About a year ago, I drove across the country to California for grad school. Total, the trip was about 2,800 miles, taking me across the middle of the country. I had two other options, to drive the northern route through Colorado or the southern way through Alabama and South Texas. Although I was probably going the more boring way, it was the fastest by about 6 hours. The entire trip took about 4.5 days. I had recently been through a tough breakup, and things back home all around were not going great for me since undergrad. So that played into my decision to move to California. I really enjoyed the drive itself. It gave me plenty of time to reflect on my life and figure out the stuff I needed to change about myself. I would basically drive 10 to 15 hours a day until I got tired and then booked an Airbnb. I took my time on the drive. If I saw a cool national park or landmark to explore, I did it because it was the freest I have ever felt. Anyways, I was driving through the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas. I had never watched the show but figured it would be a cool place to explore. I was making good time on the drive, so I took a 30-minute detour and followed the GPS on my phone to the center of the national park. I drove through a quaint town, past a junkyard filled with old, rusted vehicles, and down a stretch of road that was covered in tall spruce trees. Eventually, I lost service, but that was fine because I figured it was still a relatively frequented spot for outdoor junkies. I reached a gravel turnout marked with a wooden sign where people could take small boats to launch. I parked, locked my car, and grabbed my knife and some water and hammock, hoping to find a cool spot by the river to get a peaceful rest. I found two trees with the perfect distance and set up my hammock, drifting off into a light sleep for about 30 minutes or so. When I decided it was time to go, I rolled my hammock into its case, put my large knife and water into my drawstring bag I carry them in. I should add that I carry the knife whenever I go hiking, because I'm a paranoid person that has seen way too many movies. I grew up hunting and fishing and wrestled in college, so I normally feel safe on my own. As I walked up from the riverbank, I noticed a black SUV had parked, and a young couple was standing behind it with the back hatch open. The guy was setting up a fishing pole, and the girl was standing there just watching. I noticed a medium-sized black dog with medium-length hair. It looked like a lab mixed with maybe German Shepherd. My family has always had large dogs, and this one looked friendly, so the thought did not cross my mind that maybe it was not. As I got closer to their car, which was parked by mine, the dog noticed me and started trotting towards me. As it got within 5 feet, I stuck my palm out for it to sniff. I do not know if it felt like I was going to be a threat or what, but it instantly started barking and growling, running from its owners and back to me. As it did this, the girl just looked at it, saying nothing, and the guy just kept messing with the fishing line. After a few times of running back and forth, the dog charged at me, and I started backpedaling and yelling at it. This seemed to scare it off a little, but it kept charging and lunged at me, biting me through my shorts and on my mid-thigh, breaking the skin. Thankfully, it did not hold or shake, but I could immediately see blood running down my leg. I honestly had no idea what to do, and I felt terrified and an intense anger towards the couple for not calling their dog off. The guy was still playing with his fishing pole, while the girl looked with an expressionless face. After the dog bit me, it continued to do its charging back and forth. As it ran back to them, I quickly opened my drawstring and fumbled with my knife. It was a large 10-inch blade in a black sheath. I drew it and yelled out to the couple that I will use it if I must. Out of all things I could have yelled to make myself seem tough, I just said, "Please get your dog." I guess it was all my mind could process at the time. Finally, the guy looked up and called his dog back and held it by the collar, allowing me to get in my car. I did so as quickly as possible, no one saying a word to each other. And as I drove off, the adrenaline wore off with what was replaced with anger. My brain was telling me that I should go back and confront the couple for being so careless about their dog viciously attacking another person. However, the logical side of my mind told me to keep driving and to not look back. I know this might not seem like that big of a deal, and could have been a lot worse. But imagine being 1,000 miles away from home in the remote Arkansas wilderness with no phone service. I assessed the damage once I found a safe place to pull off the road, and after I regained service, luckily the puncture wounds were not very deep, and I had a medical kit in my trunk from where I was a lifeguard. I dressed it with rubbing alcohol and cotton gauze and drove off. Looking back, I should have called the police or animal control, because the dog could have had rabies. I really did not even think about that at the time. I guess I was just still so shaken up. If I ever drive through Arkansas again, I will make sure to never ever go hiking. My name is Sam, and I live in the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas. I have lived here all my life and have been hunting in these mountains since I was a boy with my father. I am also a heavy believer in the supernatural and in cryptids. Dogmen, Bigfoot, skinwalkers, and wendigos have gotten me intrigued by the superstitious. But here in Arkansas, we have a legend, and I'm sure you have heard a legend here. And let me tell you that this legend is very real. This is my encounter with the infamous Ozark Howler. It was a cold, misty night in the mountains of the Ozark landscape. My father and I were gathering some firewood for the family. We live in a cabin that we built ourselves, and my dad being brought up in these mountains by my grandmother and his great-grandfather, our family consisted of my stepmother and my two younger siblings. I was the oldest of my two siblings. I am currently 21 and own a couple of firearms. We hunt with an 1870 antique Winchester repeater and a Krag Jorgensen rifle, or more known as the bolt-action rifle that was passed down by my grandfather and was used to hunt game back when trapping was a big thing in the States. Now, we use these weapons as a token of our appreciation to our ancestors. I also use a standard hunting knife and a crossbow whenever I go camping and hunting. We go hunting often, and we have not seen much this past winter. We would see the occasional bear or the occasional mountain lion, but not many deer this season, which was odd as they are abundant in these mountains. While we were gathering some firewood outside, we heard a howl in the distance. I have heard these howls before, and mostly I assumed it to be some coyotes, a fox, or maybe a lone cougar. It was also much colder than any normal night, and we were chopping the firewood my father was looking at me with sweat dripping down his face. He said, "How's it going over there, champ?" I responded with, "Just fine, Dad. It's a lot colder than normal tonight. What do you say we go hunting for the game soon? The kids are probably hungry." He responded with a resounding, "Yeah, I think we should. We don't want to keep the family waiting." So we went inside the cabin to gather our weapons. I took my Winchester repeater and my crossbow, and my father took his Krag Jorgensen rifle and his pump-action shotgun. We let my mom know we were going to go hunting and that we would set off into the cold. We decided to take a trail that was all too familiar to us to see if we could catch ourselves a big buck or a doe, which would be lucky for us. I was walking through the snow, listening closely to anything that could be lurking in these woods. Luckily, it was a clear night and the moon was full, so I could see ahead of me fairly well. In these mountains, we had all sorts of encounters ranging from bison to cougars, but this time, it felt different. The woods were eerily quiet. I felt like something was watching me from the tree line. All I could hear was the beating of my heartbeat and the sounds of our footsteps in the snow, and then we heard it. A loud, very eerie howl that made my blood go cold. I tried to focus on where the sound came from. I looked at my father, and he seemed to be on edge. I asked him, "What do you think that was?" He responded with, "I don't know, son, but I think we should keep it quiet and see if we can get down and find a deer for dinner." I noticed his hands were trembling with fright, but it was a good sight to see that he wanted to keep going. So, I went along with him. You see, my dad is fearless and he is a quite strong man. From what I know, no one would want to mess with him. To see him want to continue our hunt was a good sign to me. I kept on listening closely to the sounds that surrounded us. As the forest became alive again, I heard something to our left, and up ahead I saw a deer come into the clearing. It was a buck, with a genuinely nice set of antlers. He seemed not to notice us yet. I quickly, but quietly, got my crossbow out, because I did not want to frighten the deer. I loaded the crossbow up, took aim at the heart of the big buck, and fired. I saw it pierce through the skin of the buck as he tried to run away with the arrow stuck into his heart. We followed the blood trail and the now injured deer. As it was letting out cries of pain, I took out my hunting knife and, with an act of mercy, put it out of his misery. After that, we heard something to the right of us. I looked down into the tree line to see if anything was there. I heard a low, deep, guttural growl. I instantly froze in fear. Whatever it was sounded intimidating. But it was odd, as in Arkansas, the largest animal we usually have are bison or bear. Whatever this thing was did not sound like any predator that hunts in this region. My dad picked up the carcass of the dead deer and put it on his shoulders. He signaled me to follow him. As we were making our way back to the cabin, I kept hearing heavy footsteps follow us every few meters. I kept looking around to see if I could catch a glimpse of whatever it was. And then I saw it. To the left of me, I saw a huge shape moving slowly by us. It was absolutely gigantic. It looked like a grizzly bear to me, but it's odd to see anything this big in these woods. I signaled my dad to look. He turned and saw it as well, and said quietly to me, "Stay close to me, and as long as we stay quiet and move quietly, we should be okay." I responded with a head nod, and we started to sneak our way back to the cabin. We got to the cabin in under 15 minutes. Both my dad and I were on edge as we moved back to the cabin. All we heard was the occasional growling and howl of the creature, as it seemed like it was taunting us. As we moved into the clearing near the cabin, I heard a booming set of footsteps behind me. I looked behind me to see the same creature once again, except this time I could see it clearly. It looked a lot like a grizzly bear, but with horns and eyes glowing a bright crimson blood red. My dad and I screamed as we ran back to the cabin. We made it just in time to close the door, as whatever the creature was banging on the door with brute force. My dad started panicking, putting the deer down and rushing the kids and my stepmother upstairs. I kept on hearing this creature scratch at the door, and every so often, it tried to break it down. It roared so loud that my ears started ringing. As it desperately tried to break down the door, I decided I was going to try to scare it off. I went upstairs to my bedroom window, opened it up, and got my Winchester ready. I got the massive beast in my sights as I fired at it. After I hit it, I let out a roar and ran back into the woods with the earth shaking behind its every step. Everything suddenly went quiet again after this. I ran downstairs and looked outside to see nothing but large footprints in the snow. I opened the door and looked at the damage the creature caused, and I saw that there were huge scratch marks and indentations on the door. I then went to the footprints left by the creature, and to my surprise, there was no blood, even though I'm positive I shot it multiple times. After this, I researched more into our history and found out that whatever my dad and I saw that night is probably known as the Ozark Howler. Every so often, we can still hear it howl at night, but my dad and I have learned to respect the beast. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true Ozark Mountain horror stories. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button. Or, if you're listening on iTunes or another podcast platform, give this a 5-star rating, as it helps me out a ton, and I'm very appreciative of that. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us, hit that subscribe button, and be sure to turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's from the mountains or something else that creeped you out, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. Down in the comments below, I would love to know what story tonight was your favorite. Definitely get that discussion going. I'll definitely reply to quite a few people. If you want to support the swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. I have everything from face masks to hoodies to t-shirts and more. If you're on the go and still want to listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories wherever you are, be sure to download them absolutely free from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite scary stories online. And best part is, it's absolutely free to download and always will be. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without you guys and all the stories you send in. Again, if you have a story you'd like to share, be sure to send it in at swampdweller.net. I'd love to see what you got. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. And have a great and happy new year, everybody. And remember, be safe out there.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.